This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu wa safiyuhu wa khaliluhu. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبريكاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, the last message that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indeed was a very important one. And in this message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he repeated a commandment that is often repeated. A commandment that I myself just repeated 3 times. To have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَتُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very last ayah sent upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and fear the day that you shall return to your Lord, and every man shall have the compensation of what they used to do, and they will not be oppressed, meaning no wrong will be done to them. So on that day, every man shall see that which they put forth. For those of us who did good, we shall see good. And for those of us who did evil, we shall see evil. So in this commandment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying, وَاتَّقُوا. How often do we hear this commandment? It is almost in every single act of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this commandment. Have taqwa. Now what does this commandment actually mean? From a linguistic perspective, taqwa comes from waqiyah and wiqayah. To protect oneself, to shield oneself. Now what would one protect oneself from? And what would you shield yourself from? You would shield yourself from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would shield yourself from the azab and the nar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does it mean in a conventional sense? What does it mean when it comes in the ayat and in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? An illustrious companion, one of the greatest mufassireen that this ummah has ever known, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as it was narrated by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak and Ibn Abi Hatim in his tafsir, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the ayah in Surah Al-Imran was recited upon him, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That when the ayah was recited upon him, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a taqwa that he is most deserving, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Let us take a moment and reflect upon how Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes and defines taqwa. He says, a taqwa, أن يطاع الله فلا يعصى وأن يذكر الله فلا ينسى وأن يشكر الله فلا يكفر. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again we described him as one of the greatest mufassirin, a mufassir that was so defined in his tafsir of the Quran and so proficient in his tafsir that he could boldly say that show me if there is a single man on the face of this earth who knows more about the Quran than me so that I can travel to him. This is how bold he was in his confidence. So now let us take a moment and look at how he defines taqwa. He says that taqwa is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he is never disobeyed. And it is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he is never forgotten. And it is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that no ingratitude is shown to him. So now what exactly does this definition mean? What does it mean to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in anything and everything that He commands us with. So anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with, it is up to us to submit to and to implement. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to pray, we wholeheartedly submit to this commandment and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfilling it. And likewise, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from, it is up to us to submit to it and to abstain from it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us not to take part in those transactions that have riba, we submit to this and we abstain from it, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let us take a look at the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with. What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us with in this deen? He has commanded us with as-salah. He has commanded us with az-zakah. He has commanded us with sawm and hajj. And along with these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with righteousness towards our parents, and righteousness towards our neighbors and siblings, and righteousness towards all of those people that we take transactions with. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us with these things, how do we do them? Do we do them haphazardly? Do we do them while our hearts are absent? Or do we do them with ihsan? And do we do them with complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brothers and sisters, a small act in Islam, which is a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, is sacrificing the animals that we eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated a manner and legislated a way that we sacrifice our animals as well. Now when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the companions how to do this, what did he say to them? He said, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنِ الْقِتْلَةِ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنِ الذِّبْحَةِ. That if you were to kill and to slaughter, then be proficient, have ihsan in this. And likewise, when you sacrifice, then have ihsan in this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam command us with ihsan in the sacrificing that we do, in the food that we eat, then what is required from us in our salah, and in our zakah, and in our sawm, and in our hajj, and our recitation of the Qur'an? What is it that is required from us then? Indeed, it is a much higher level. Because in these actions, we're building a direct relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you stand for salah, you're conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That all praise is due to the Lord of this world, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment. You're conversing with the One who created you, the One who sustains you, the One who grants you everything that you have. So how will you stand in front of Him when you converse with Him? Will you stand with an absent mind or with an absent heart? Or will you stand in front of Him with pleasure and love and hope, as well as fear? This is a decision we all make. And sadly, we all make the wrong decisions when we stand in salah. Most of us, when we stand in salah, our minds are absent, our hearts are absent. We're often thinking about the chores we have to do at home, or the assignments and tasks we have to do at work, or busy thinking about, you know, how am I going to make more money? These are the things we're often thinking about. Now take a moment and reflect, how would Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stand for salah? Firstly, when he used to ask Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give the adhan, how would he ask him to give the adhan? Would he just simply tell him to give the adhan? No, he wouldn't. He would say, Arihna biha ya Bilal. Ya Bilal, grant us tranquility and solace through it. Meaning, call the prayer so that we may reach a state of tranquility, a state of peace. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam viewed the salah. And likewise, when asked about the salah, he described it as qurrat aynihi, the pleasure and coolness of his eyes. The salah is supposed to be a moment of your day where you set aside and remember the one who created you, and the one who sustains you, and the one who grants you your blessings. You remember the one that has granted you each and every single thing that you own. And without him you would have had nothing and you wouldn't have even existed. This is how we're supposed to testify and witness our salahs, brothers and sisters. Not in a state of laziness and being lackadaisical and being heedless. Take lessons. And our predecessors, they used to say about the ones who were persistent and consistent in their sins, that they have a deficiency in their salahs. Why would they say this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed it is the salah that prevents one from doing evil and lewd deeds. So now, take this as a criteria. When one is persistent and consistent in doing sins, know that it is more than often a deficiency in your salah. If one takes the time before his salah and reflects upon what he is embarking upon, and who he is standing in front of, and who he is remembering, his heart should be filled with love, and with hope, and fear. This is how we perfect our salahs. And through the perfection of our salahs, we perfect the rest of our deen as well. Secondly, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that at-taqwa is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he is never forgotten. What does the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mean? The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his constant remembrance, not only with your tongues but with your hearts and limbs as well. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about those individuals who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are heedless of him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us against such actions when he says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not be like those people who have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us this? Because those people who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they eventually forget themselves as well. Now does this mean they forget their names and where they live and their addresses and their phone numbers? No, it does not. But rather it means that their priorities in life turn upside down and backwards. And this is why we find that the kuffar, that how often do they request to find out what their purpose in their life is? How often do we find them heedless? How often do we find them not knowing what they're doing with their lives? Always confused. Should I become a doctor or should I become an engineer? Should I become a sales clerk or should I become an athlete? These are the questions that they embark themselves upon. But in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our purpose in life very explicit and very clear. He created us to worship Him. Now our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to salah and zakah and sawm, but rather, with the righteous and noble intention, any act that we do, from sleeping and eating and spending time with our families, can become an act of ibadah if we seek the pleasure of Allah. So when we eat, we do it for the sake of having energy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we sleep, we do it for the sake of waking up for fajr. And when we spend time with our families, we do it because Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the best of us are those of us who are best to their families. If we do it with the righteous intention, all of our daily acts, of our daily actions and routines can become acts of ibadah. And this is what we should strive for. And this is what we should hope for. And not stop our acts of worship at the salah and the zakah alone. Now, this is what happens to a person in the dunya when he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens to a person in the akhirah when he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّي لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he who turns away from my remembrance, then for him shall be a life of hardship and congestion. And he will be raised upon Yawm al-Qiyamah as someone who is blind. And he will say, Oh my Lord, why is it that I have been raised as someone who is blind when I was able to see? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes such an individual. And he says, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. That thus our signs and our ayahs and our verses came to you. فَنَسِيتَهَا. You neglected them, you turned away from them, you forgot them. فَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And just like you forgot them in the dunya, today on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you shall be shoved aside and forgotten. Now which one of us wants to be on that state? That we show up on Yawm al-Qiyamah thinking that we are Muslims, yet we were heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. And then we show up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is neglecting us and turning us away. Which one of us wants to be in that state? Any person with a sane mind would seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being in such a state. And this is what we need to do. That part of seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is becoming conscious of Him in this dunya before it's too late. Now let us take a moment and look. What was the last thing that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in defining taqwa? He said, it is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that no ingratitude is shown to Him. Now what does shukr actually mean? People generally use the term shukr and hamd as synonyms. But in actuality there is a minute difference. Hamd in the Arabic language is praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all states. And it is often with the tongue alone. Whereas shukr is the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a blessing. And it is usually done with our actions and our tongues. This is a key difference. So now, how does one do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Firstly, you have to recognize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a moment and reflect upon all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. From your eyesight, your ability to touch, your ability to breathe without having consciously controlling your lungs, your ability to eat, sleep and drink. Now, how many of us actually thought about our Islam? How many of us thought about the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us? It is through our Islam that we find peace and tranquility in this dunya. And it is through our Islam that we live with each other in peace and in a humane manner. And in the Akhirah, our Islam is the reason that we are entered into Jannah. How many of us thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? How true is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He says, وَإِن تُعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to attempt to enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to do so. In the tafsir of this ayah, the scholars of tafsir, they mention that this is due to two main reasons. The first reason being that our minds are very limited and incapable of recognizing all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you think about your eyesight, you'll often forget the blessing of your family. If you think about your ability to sleep and drink in peace, you will forget about your Islam. Our minds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not create them in a manner we were able to enumerate all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another reason for this is that our lives are just too short. That the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so many that even if our minds were capable of remembering and counting each and every blessing, our lives are just too short that our lives would run out. So now if this is the case, if our minds are limited and our lives are limited, should we not try to make the most of them, the most of our minds and the most of our lives? And that every blessing that we do recognize, should we not thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this? Of course we should. Why? Why should we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a clear reason. Other than His clear commandment to thank Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that through thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase you in blessings and He will put barakah in that blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with authority and emphasis, He says that your Lord has called and proclaimed that if you were to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase you in them. Now what does this mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will increase you in them? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate, the owner and ruler of this dunya, He will increase you in your blessings. Not only will He increase you in your blessings, but the barakah that is in them, He will increase you in that as well. So with those $10 that you were only able to buy a meal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put blessing in it. And you will be able to put gas with it and buy your meal and buy a gift for your wife as well. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts blessing in it. And how often are we complaining of the gas prices these days? You want barakah in your gas? Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gas and you will see that you will be able to get that extra mileage. It's just that mankind is heedless and he is of little faith. He thinks that we are in this dunya, we do our own things and we're capable of controlling all of our affairs. Little does he know that nothing takes place except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you come to realize this, this is when you will seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one of the easiest ways of seeking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us themselves. If you will reflect upon the Qur'an, how does the Qur'an start off? How does each surah start off? It starts off with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, if this is how the Qur'an starts off, let us take a moment and reflect on how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to start off his letters to the Roman emperors and the Persian kings. How would he start them off? They would start off with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Muhammad the slave and messenger of Allah to so and so. Now, was this the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone? No, it was the sunnah of the anbiya and the messengers before him as well. Turn back to Surah An-Naml. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for us in history the letter that Sulaiman alayhi salam wrote to Sheba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مِن سُلَيْمَانِ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. That indeed it is from Sulaiman, and indeed it begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now why would they begin all of their affairs with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Not only is it a form of seeking blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts blessings in this action, but when you get into a habit of saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim upon all the actions that you embark upon, it becomes as a reminder for you as well. That when you open the door and you're leaving the masjid and you embark upon this dunya and its corruption and its evil, it's a reminder for yourself that you should lower your gaze as you walk upon the streets. When you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as you enter upon work, not only are you seeking the blessing for your wealth and the blessing in your time when you that you have in work, but also you're reminding yourself that you should abstain from those evil transactions as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from. The Bismillah has innumerable blessings and benefits. And these are just a few of them that I'm here to remind you of. So let us get into the habit of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His blessings and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of mankind, he would stand in the middle of the night and pray to his Lord to the degree that his feet would crack and his feet would swell up and they would start to bleed. And he would be asked, why are you doing this, Ya Rasulullah? Has Allah not forgiven all of your previous and future sins? He says, shall I not be a thankful slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, if this was the case of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are we not more deserving of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Him and remembering Him? Brothers and sisters, when you leave this musalla today, it is upon you to make that decision. Do you want to be of those people who are remembered and praised on Yawm al-Qiyamah and live lives of virtue and happiness and peace and tranquility in this life? Or do you want to be of those people who live lives of congestion and hardship in this life and on Yawm al-Qiyamah are neglected by your very Creator? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So brothers and sisters, we've spent our day today, in this short hour, remembering what this commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that commands us with in almost each and every action, and learning it. Now in Islam, when we learn something, it is not something that we place in our minds and let touch our hearts, but it is something we need to implement and something we need to fulfill. For knowledge that is not fulfilled by action is useless. It is like that tree that gives no fruit, and it is like that flower that gives no beautiful scent. So now that we have learned what taqwa is and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us, it is upon us to try to implement taqwa in all aspects of our lives. We need to learn to trust, to treat people justly. We need to learn to be obedient to our parents. We need to learn to smile and say salam to our fellow Muslims when we see them on the street. And likewise, we need to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is never too late to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you are in this dunya, it is never too late. So if you are an individual who doesn't pray his 5 daily prayers, now is the time to begin. If you are an individual that doesn't fast his Ramadan and doesn't give his zakah, now is the time to begin. If you haven't taken upon yourself the journey of love, of hajj, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you still have time to plan and prepare for it. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the blessing of good health and time. And to show gratitude to Him, fulfill His commandments in them. Remember Him as much as you can. And at the same time, take care of your worldly duties. But be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them as well. And as I end off right now, I remind you of a commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with Himself and then ordered His angels with, when He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا, وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيي على الإسلام, وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان. اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين, اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين, اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك, ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا, واجعله الوارث منا, واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا, وانصرنا على من عادانا, ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا. اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا, اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا, ولا تجعل هذه الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. اللهم اجعل الجنة هي دارنا, ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا, برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك, وبك منك ولا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, وأقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر, الله أكبر, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح, قد قامت الصلاة, قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر, الله أكبر, لا إله إلا الله.
brothers and sisters, strain the lines and fill the gaps. For indeed, the straining of the lines and the filling of the gaps is part of the perfection of the prayer and its completion. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that he who joins the sufuf, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join him. And he who cuts off the sufuf or the lines, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cut him off. So take heed of this matter. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وعد لهم أجرا كريما يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المحيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله